It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Joe. Albert Breer. One of the big reasons Kirk Cousins decided to leave Minnesota. The Vikings told him they were drafting a QB of the future high in the draft. Didn't like it. Saints drafted a quarterback over in the fifth round. Hello, everyone. Welcome to hour number two. Chris's Paving brings you hour number two on the Sports Hangover. Driveways, parking lots, overlays, locally owned and operated. Your asphalt and concrete paving contractor. Look, New Orleans, Bayou Regions, they both can get there. So if you're paving it at all, give them a call. 985-960-2131. Or you can just go online. ChrisPaving.com. Phone numbers there and all of the things that they're capable of doing. Give us a buzz on the Ruderman call guest line and caller hotline. Ruderman can hotline. 800-998-1003 is the number to call. Kind of a question as we toss out here in hour two. We'll go over that, I guess, tweet. What do you make of it? How valid is it or not? A lot of people have been going off of it when it comes to the Brandon Ingram thing here as well. So we'll touch on that and more. Plus, we'll take your phone calls right here on ESPN.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
So you heard Mario mention it here. The Evan Siddery tweets back from over the weekend at E-S-I-D-E-R-Y, if you want to go see it. He covers the NBA for Forbes Sports, Sporting News, a couple other outlets here as well. And again, I said this to start the show in hour number one with The Lead about close finishes, which, by the way, The Lead's always presented by Lakeview Massage and Therapy and Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic with a good doctor, Dr. Josh Roulette. Tis the season where you're going to see reports, one way, shape, or form. You're either going to see reports in favor of, you know, teams making moves, or, hey, players that maybe teams may move from and things of that nature. And remember, last week, you had David Griffin, you know, mention that this season of complacency was not happening this year. And that they were going to make a move. They were going to do different things. And one of the things that people, I guess, as the playoff series went in and the Pels got swept was, do the big three fit? We talked about it last week with Jake Madison, Will Guillory, even Ali, I think, even chimed in. The winning of your minutes, plus or minus. Those starters don't win their minutes, meaning more often than not, it's in the negative. In the negative, meaning the other team score more points, or you have a more positive effect on the court when you pair with other players. Those three in particular didn't win their minutes. So where do you go? They each have a peculiar question behind it, because there is no definitive answer with all of them. I just threw that out to the guys over the weekend, you know, a couple beverages and sitting there. Who is the center part? Like, obviously, for me, it is Zion. Then a friend of mine countered. But Gus, he hasn't played in the postseason in 5 years. So are you building around a player that literally hasn't played in April? That's fair. That's valid. It's Brandon Ingram. The player that you build around. Well, Gus, he disappeared in the postseason. He just played the most games he has in his career this year. Literally on the night he got hurt, by the way. He hit the most games ever. And is he the guy you see that can take it to the next level? Do you stick with CJ McCollum? Max player, getting up in age. Again, I'm not saying he's not capable. Had the most three-pointers this year by a Pelican ever in franchise history. So he played well. Difference from when he didn't have the ligament. Again, they all, though, have not only questions about them, but things of note, such as with CJ, he isn't the guy that gets and creates his own shot. He isn't a guy that wants to be the point guard. He's told you that for now going on 3 years. He struggles with that as well. He's very inconsistent at times. For some reason, he shot the cover off the ball on the road. Couldn't buy a bucket at home. He and the rest of the team. But specifically, again, I'm looking at the three players that you have the most money invested in. When it comes to Brandon, how much of his inability to perform in the postseason had to do with the team's inability to probably surround or to do something that would have helped as in a point guard? I mean, he said it. Season-ending press conference. He was asked, would a point guard help? He said it would help quite a bit. CJ don't want to be the ball handler. Brandon Ingram, as I brought it up to Ali Cosell, he was your leader in assists this year. Is a guy that you potentially would be paying $200 million for, unless he's an elite point guard. Do you want him also being the team leader in assists? It kind of gives you, it's painting the picture of what's flawed, right? And again, with Zion, played the most games he had in his career. And I bring up, as I did this morning, to the guys that were joining us on the Pels podcast, and AD and David Wesley. What Charles Barkley said rings true. You don't think about it most of the time because they're made shots. But close your eyes for a sec, Pels fans. How many times does Zion Williamson hit the floor on a made shot? If you missed what Charles Barkley said, it was the first or second play-in game against the Lakers. I think it was the second one. Well, it might have been that Sunday one. Either way, it was either Sunday or Tuesday. He said the Pelicans need a point guard and Zion needs to finish. And he's absolutely right from this aspect. Zion, and I've said this before, it's why it's going to be harder for him to consistently score 30 to 40 a night than your Bookers, than your other guys, even AD, LeBron, because they can shoot. They have more options. Like, we're celebrating and applauding, and Mark, I see you, and I'll get to you in a quick minute here. He knocked down a couple of mid-range jumpers. A couple. But you look at his season shot chart, I mean, it is literally, it's going to be a paint of dots inside the paint. A sporadic dot or two on a three attempt or a three bait. So it's harder for him to get to that point total. He doesn't shoot threes. And he has to go past two, three players with contact. And even if he does, he goes to the ground a lot. So it hit me when Charles Barkley said that, hey, they need somebody to do all that other stuff. Bring the ball up the court, get past the initial defense, and then dish to Zion to finish. Makes sense. That's why, to me, that I thought that that's the key to go there, right? And then Will Guillory last week says, hey, I think it's center. It's easy to think of Wembanyama. It's easy to think of Jokic. You forget Şengün owns the Pels. It's a lot of center play. Yeah, I mean, Jonas owns Sabonis. Guess who's probably not going to be here next year? Jonas. So the guy you bring in better be able to play against Sabonis, who literally initiates that offense for the Kings per graph. So it is interesting. Do you go point guard? Or do you go center first? What is the biggest priority of those two if you can't do both? And of the three, do you keep all three? Do you go to? I mean, who do you attach to? They all have question marks. Mark, what you got, man? How you doing? Hello, Mark.
Gus.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. How are you?
Doing well.
You know, I was looking up some stats just real quick. When you're talking about these big three, and I wish I could pull them all up, but I have one sitting in front of me. Zion took 1,094 shots in the 2023-2024 season.
Mm-hmm.
1,040 of them were from within 9 feet of the basket.
Yeah.
40% of his assists came from Brandon, and I think it was 30-something of the percent of the assists that mm-hmm. on his made shots came from CJ. The big three can work, right? I mean, these guys, they know how to work together. They know they spread the floor well enough. You have to go, you have to get a facilitator. You need a point guard. That's the key, you know. I mean, I know I said it last week, you know, we need Chris Paul in his prime.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, okay. And that's what, because that changes, again, that changes the whole game for the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you've got the three guys who account for, I don't know what the percentage is. Let's call it, what, 70, 75% of your offense? Is, you know, maybe 70% of those are those three guys. They're going to be involved in it some way, either in making the, as an assist or as the shooter. They're going to be involved in 70 to 80% of your offense. So free up CJ, because you just said the stat. I mean, he had the most, what, three-pointers in Pelican history or something?
Yeah, he did.
You know? And that's not being a point guard. That's being a shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
Get a point guard.
He's not the guy that creates a shot, you know? He needs the spacing, yeah. and he'll do the catch-and-shoot three, but it's harder for him to try to create that spot, right? Like, he's not – and again, I understand I'm referring to one person who's one of one right now, but Jamal Murray's game-winning shots – against the Lakers, two different ways, but things that the Pels, I don't know if they have right now, right? They got to go and create his own shot. Zion can go create his own space and get to the rim and smoke somebody, but Jamal Murray getting to pass the right block on the right baseline and then shooting it over AD. He just knew where he was going, got there, and shot it over a seven-footer. I don't know, you know, we've seen B.I. be able to do that at times, but that, and then on the second game winner against the Lakers to piece them out, it was a pick and roll with Jokic. So, you know, but again, a ball handler, a guy that tends to handle the ball. And I think that's the key for me. Before you decide who you're moving on from or what you're doing, can you get that? Because if you can get that, most of this roster can stay intact. I think if you don't get that, I don't know if you can keep the roster the way it is. Does that make sense?
I mean, no, absolutely. I mean, we had our first full year of these three guys playing a year of basketball together. And, okay, at times it was horrific.
Mm-hmm.
But more times than not, it was a fun thing to watch. And just thinking, it was like, if you had a guy that actually was facilitating the play and putting CJ in the spot to catch and shoot from the get-go, how much better could they be? You know, you've got all the other pieces. I mean, I'd love us to have a little more athletic center, but you're not going to bully Valanciunas anywhere. Okay. I mean, the guy's going to stand up to anybody. So you know what? If the trade-off is athletic center or actual point guard, I'll take the point guard every day. That's just like for the draft for the Saints. We kept saying, please drop a tackle, please drop a tackle, please drop a tackle.
Yeah, no, I mean, really. I mean, it didn't take much to understand that, right? I mean, drop the tackle, we're good to go. I mean,
right. You know, now I'm going to go find a novena for a freaking shooting guard. I mean, for a point guard.
I know.
Okay, so but that's what we need. We need a point guard.
All right, my man. Thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Hey, have a great one.
Yep, you too. Quick break, Rafael Esparza next on ESPN New Orleans.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Here in a quick set as we go over the Kentucky Derby. His thoughts on it here as well. To go Torpedo Anna back on Friday. If you missed what happened back on Saturday.
Here's Mystic Dan making the move on the rail to take the lead and then hold them off.
Yeah, Sierra Leone had to check going into the far turn just a little bit and it was forced wide while three Mystic Dan is sneaking through on the rail. A huge difference right there and ground loss for Sierra Leone. But yet he still comes with that huge run and wears his competition down late. But Mystic Dan has too much. This is exactly the way he won the Southwest in Arkansas, right up the rail.
The same kind of rail run, coming down the stretch. Right?
It was kind of incredible looking at that, how that ended there. And again, we played a little bit ago, Travis Stone, and how he had the call from the booth. He was on the Pat McAfee show just a little bit ago.
Sierra Leone is launching his rally too. It is wide open. Catching Freedom's going to come through toward the inside. They're off the turn. Mystic Dan cut the corner and grabbed the lead right at the top of the stretch. Sierra Leone and Forever Young are shoulder to shoulder with a furlong to go, but they've got two lengths to make up on Mystic Dan, who's begging for the wire. Forever Young and Sierra Leone keep on coming. Sierra Leone, Forever Young, and Mystic Dan. A wild finish. Here's the wire. Photo finish. Three noses on the wire. Mystic Dan, Sierra Leone, and Forever Young in an international thriller.
About that call, not only that, Mr. Rafael Esparza, but that finish, literally by a nostril. It was by a nostril.
Hello, Rafael. Forever Young, I was hoping for Forever Young to catch this one, the first Japanese horse to maybe win the race. But this weekend right here was one of those weekends where we don't need football, but everyone in the media wants to talk about football. We had a photo finish in the Derby, a photo finish in NASCAR. We had two huge upsets in UFC. We had Solo wins in WWE Backlash, who's the Kane of WWE, and Minnesota steals game one in Denver in NBA. We don't need football every day, 365 days a year.
Well, I was going to ask you about the Saints quarterback battle moving forward. I don't mean quarterback battle. I'm talking about the between, obviously, Rattler and... No, I'm kidding.
No, you're not.
No, I am, really. Not today. Not today. To your point, does that mean we have sushi this weekend? Are we treating us to some sushi? Do you do well?
We are. One of these days I need a treat because your horse...
Torpedo
Anna won, and it was a big day for Louisiana horse racing. Both winners, the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby, all have Louisiana ties. I know it was Jazz Fest. I know Jazz Fest brings a ton of money, but I wish Fairgrounds would have been open yesterday because that brings a lot of boost into horse racing for Louisiana, and they didn't. So I know that, I'm not saying that Fairgrounds would have made more money than Jazz Fest. No way it would have, but I thought it would have maybe a boost up to race action if they were open yesterday.
Let me ask you something in terms of action and money. I don't know, and maybe I've asked you this on Friday and I forgot. How much money, like when you can get bet on the Derby? Like I'm trying to think of, like, there's Super Bowl, there's the Derby. What are some of the top sporting events for a single day? Does that make sense? Not like game sevens or something like that, but like an event that's just one day. What leads for you?
I would say probably dollar wise, it'd probably be Cinco de Mayo boxing. I mean, back in the day when De La Hoya did it, and then Canelo did it. Canelo did it this weekend. I mean, that draw is huge for the gate because those dollar prices are not cheap. So I'm talking dollar wise, but the Derby's always a fun thing. Derby's more fashion and fun thing to do at the same time because everyone's dressing nice. I mean, the broadcast drew the best, biggest number since 1989. I haven't seen the number of handle yet. The handle was up for the Kentucky Oaks on Friday, so it was a really, really good weekend for horse racing, which everyone thinks is dying, which is not. It's not popular, but it's not dying. Anytime you see upwards in handle, it's always a good day for horse bettors.
Okay, I'm just making sure on where that would go when you look at the Derby and stuff. So is Mystic Dan a favorite to win the Preakness?
No, because she's probably not going to even run. So,
really?
Mystic Dan, I said, probably not going to run and probably will run at Belmont. And you know what? I know everyone says, oh, I can't believe they do that. I think you can tell at certain horses that they're just not going to win the Triple Crown. And the Mystic Dan is not going to win the Triple Crown. It's not a big horse. Had a great run in this one at Derby. I don't see it winging a Triple Crown. I could be wrong, but if he's going to skip the Preakness, it went like Fierceness. If it would have won, it would have probably raced at the Preakness. Forever Young, the Japanese trainer, said yes, if he would have won, he would be racing at Preakness. Because these horses look like there could be Triple Crown. No disrespect to Mystic Dan. Unless it's pouring buckets in Preakness, he might, because the horse likes to run in the mud, maybe they'll change their mind.
All right. I mean, so you don't think you should do it for the fans, right? When you bring it for the fans?
I would do it for the fans, but sometimes they just skip it and say, you know, why? Because if it looks bad, that just draws bad numbers for breeding and stuff like that. So your owners are looking like, hey, with stud fees and stuff like that. They're already looking at what's going to happen when this horse can't run anymore.
Okay. Yeah, easy enough to look at it from that perspective. You talked about the fights over the weekend. Give me some fisticuff stuff, and then we'll get into the NBA playoffs.
I mean, UFC was not that bad of a card. It was in Brazil. Jose Aldo was supposed to lose and maybe retire. He wins on an upset, and maybe he's not going to retire. So that was kind of an interesting fact that came out of UFC. Canelo wins, which everyone thought maybe Jaime Manguera could have hung around, and at his speed could have bothered Canelo. But Canelo's power just looks too powerful. I mean, Benavidez is probably going to be his fight maybe in September. I don't know if how healthy Canelo is after this fight. But if he fights Benavidez, that's going to be a very interesting fight because Benavidez has power like Canelo.
Yeah. When you look at the fights and things of that nature, what's coming up here in the summer? Because I think sometimes, you know, we think of like the summer kind of a dead period for certain sports. When are some of the bigger fights coming up here?
Well, everyone wants to talk about the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight, I'm sure. But it's on Netflix. I mean, I don't think they're going to do numbers like Tom Brady's roast did yesterday because I just saw the numbers live on net. Oh, yes, I watched it. And I blushed a little bit and felt bad for Tom during it. But that's probably one of the fights that people are looking for. Great fight coming up, Josh Taylor versus Jack Cantrell. That there's the rematch for fight, so I think that's going to be very, very interesting. Paige Van Zandt is boxing in May against, I think, a YouTube star that does porn. I think that's probably going to be Deontay Wilder's fighting in June. And then we have Tyson Fury that's also fighting. There's some interesting fights on there. Nate Diaz is fighting Jorge Masvidal. That should be interesting fight as well.
Okay. Let's see what happens with that. I'm still the YouTube star, huh? Okay. All right.
She's fought like five times, so she knows the boxing
she's
ring and
fought.
She trains
okay.
boxing.
All right.
Yeah, she's actually fought. I think this is her fifth boxing match. But Paige Van Zandt's going to be a huge favorite.
Okay. Let's get to the NBA playoffs here as we got two games tonight. It's game one between the Pacers and the Knicks. Jalen Brunson's been awesome. Halliburton a little questionable with a little back issue here as well, though. How do you view this one? Is this going 6-7 games? Is 5 to the Knicks? Do you think the Pacers can win?
I think this goes 6 games. I think the Pacers have a shot of winning if they can stay healthy. I mean, they played each other 3 times this season in a regular season. The Pacers averaged 123 points in those 3 games. And the Knicks have been scoring in the playoffs. I mean, normally when the Knicks get to the playoffs, their defense, it's hard battle, you barely score 100, but their offense has been really good because of Brunson. I think this goes 6 games, and I'm leaning towards New York in 6.
Okay, New York in 6. And then you have Minnesota and the Nuggets. Everyone's already said Anthony Edwards is Michael Jordan. He's there already. I don't know if you knew that already. He hasn't won a playoff series yet, but he's already there. Look, that game one was pretty awesome to see. I think the Nuggets, there's no way to go down 2-0, huh?
There's no, but the betting public's all over the Nuggets. This one was 5 this morning. Now it's 6.5 right now. And I think this one could creak up closer. A lot of big money coming in on Denver. Let's face it, the Joker has not been MVP. She's had 7 turnovers in back-to-back games. And granted, yeah, I know he scored 32 points, but didn't have double-digit rebounds in game one. I see him having a huge game when that's surprised if he has a triple-double, which a triple-double is plus 155 if you want to open up that app and get that price. But I see Denver winning.
Okay, makes sense here as well. What do you make of Jason Kidd getting an extension with the Mavericks?
What he's done in the whole Mavericks organization, what they have done with Kyrie Irving is probably the biggest surprise to me. I mean, Kyrie quiet all season long, just goes in. Him and Luka have been gelled really, really well. Their bench is good. They drafted really well. They got that big center, I think, from Texas. I like them to upset the OKC. I think this OKC is still a little young. I'm a little favorish on this one just because I'm tired of that horrible OKC commercial. I just want them to hurry up and get out of the playoffs. But I like the Mavericks in this series.
I think one of the things that will be interesting to me is, do they keep him in the offseason? You think the Mavericks keep Kyrie? Or yes, is he a done deal to the Kyrie, Lakers?
No, I think Kyrie has found a home.
Okay. I asked you on Friday what had happened a couple days from now. That is, it's gone. Latest on the coaching search. Because this morning, Brian Windhorst was like, Laker fans need to get out of their mind. It's not Ty Lue.
I'm still hearing grumbles. I think it's Buchholz and May. I think it's between him, J.J. Redick, and keep an eye out for Terry Stouts or Strouts. I can't remember where.
Really?
Keep an eye out for those three. I mean, if I'm the Clippers, what's the point in keeping Tyrue? I think PG-13 might be gone. I mean, if you're Lue, do you really want to go another year with Kawhi sitting down and stuff like that? If I'm Ty Lue, why would I stay? I would go across the street.
Yeah, but why do you want to coach over there? I'm just saying.
He's got ties with LeBron. I mean, LeBron's only going to be there one more year.
Like I said, it makes sense, you know, whether or not it happens or not. And do you know where you were on this day, 1998, sir? Do you know what I'm referring to?
No.
No? How dare you? Maybe this brings right
back. What is it?
Make it five in a row.
Speed.
Got it. 14.
Thanks. He's got six more to go.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
You remember who Kerry Ward is, don't you?
Yeah, Kerry Ward. I was supposed to be at that game, and I got sick.
Really? Here it is. Here it is.
What can you say?
They're seeing something special here today.
Yeah, I thought we'd be winning. Never lose again. I thought 20 strikeouts. I literally skipped class that day because, I mean, he'd come up, right? And they were like, I gotta watch this guy. And right after that performance, I was like, that's it. We'll never lose again. Oh, my goodness gracious. We're really going to win the World Series. Mark Pryor, Kerry Wood, no way. The Cubs would not win multiple World Series.
I think I was like a month off of one of my heart surgeries. I lose count now these days. And I thought I would be able to go, and I got sick a little bit. And my mom and dad are like, you are not going to the game. And the girl I was dating at the time took away my keys because I was going to go no matter what. So.
You were going to go no matter what.
I was going to go no matter what.
All right, Rafael Esparza, we'll see you. Are we going to see you Thursday at Katie's? Are you available?
I'm going to try to get there on Thursday. I just looked at my calendar, and it's not as heavy as it was. I have no big pay-per-views. I'm recording my wrestling podcast with Jonathan Coachman on Wednesday, not Thursday morning. So I should be able to. I have really good feelings I'll be there on Thursday.
Really good feelings. All right. Well, we'll see you there. Look, 4K's not coming back for another 2 months. We got plenty of time there. I'm not going to say that Chef's real happy about that. He's extremely happy about that. I'm just letting you know. Thank you, bud. We'll see you soon.
Take it easy.
Yeah, for sure. Quick break when we come back. Phone lines are open on the Rude Man Can Caller and Guest Hotline, which starts. Brian Alakwi of Ohio West. He's already started it. Do you start with center or point guard? Yeah, if you have both their needs. But what's the biggest priority for the Pelicans? Sports Hangover continues next.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengat.
800-998-1003. Chris Paving, hour two, the Sports Hangover. ChrisPaving.com. Go check him out. New Orleans, Pioneer Regions, asphalt, concrete, you name it. You got to get it paved. Give him a call. Go to ChrisPaving.com. Get all of the latest info there. Open phone lines. Rude Man Can Caller and Guest Line. Again, I just kind of brought up this. My speaking, obviously, with Ali Kilsell today, Will Guillory on Friday, kind of threw me a bit of a curveball. So I'm like, okay, what's the biggest priority for the Pels? And like, it's absolutely, right? Has to be. Point guard. I need a facilitator. Even Brandon Ingram was talking about how it would have helped to have had a point guard and all of that. And then kind of like, we're just looking at those three players and, you know, which of those three is the biggest, I wouldn't say liability. I just, where you go, look, Brandon Ingram eligible for a $200 million extension. I feel like a lot of people easily went, no, don't go there. 800-998-1003 on the Rude Man Can Caller and Guest Hotline. What's the biggest priority? Is it point guard? Is it center? Will Guillory said, look at the centers. Just not Victor Wembanyama, but you look up and down the Western Conference, they are teams that have, I mean, Sengun, you know, for Houston, he gave the Pels fits when it goes to that. And then Brandon Ingram, on the 30th, when the team had their exit interviews, because this all comes down to the fit. Do you fit with Zion Williamson? Do you fit with him? And again, as a buddy at the Lake House said, look, I watch and I don't watch. I'm just from the outside. How comfortable are you investing in building around a player that hasn't played in the postseason in 5 years? I mean, that's fair. You have to pick one, right? You have to do something. But that is the case. I mean, that's a fact. That's true. I think he looked great from March to April. As Antonio Daniels said on the Pels podcast today, he needs to see that in October. I'm with him. You need to see that in October. You need to see him in the postseason. He's going on year six, hasn't been in it. But I do think that's who you build around simply because of the other players with Brandon and CJ. They're not Zion. You saw it. Your own eyes saw it. And as pause as it gives you to build and invest around, that is the right avenue. Because you saw it when he dropped 40 against the Lakers. The other two can't. You saw it. Those two against the Thunder didn't win a game. I don't think any of us feel that you get swept if Zion plays in that game. Literally because just him being on the floor changes the matchup where Lu Dort, the guy that neutralized Brandon Ingram, has to guard Zion Williamson because they don't have a big that could match. That's what I'm saying. That's the difference. Of your big three, he's the only one that forces it, that is a mismatch. The other guys can be matched up against. Here's B.I.
Do you know, people talk about, can he and Zion work? I know there were questions in Boston. Can Tatum and Brown work? Do you believe that you and Zion can work here long-term together and it can, you know, be a harmonious basketball experience?
Yeah, I mean, we both care about basketball. We both care about winning. So, you know, if we communicate and we figure out what we really want out of this thing, I think we inspire each other and we can do that. But it doesn't work without communication.
So what do you think that means, Brian, who's likely a mile high out west? What's up, sir? How are you this afternoon? Hello, Brian.
I'm here, bro. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. What do you think that means when he says it can't work unless there's communication?
I mean, I agree with him on the surface of the thing that, you know, they have to be able to get along on and off the court, have that synergy, if you will. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense in theory. The problem is that you can't really build that chemistry no matter how much you talk to each other if you're not on the court together a lot, which was the first time that they were. And it still ended up being the same thing that it's been every other year, that somebody's not available when it's time for the postseason. I can't see how Griff can justify being able to pay Brandon Ingram somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 million per year. I just can't see it.
So what do you do? Let's say you just happen to be driving through, you're hanging out, getting a little lunch as you're going from one side of the country to the other. Looky there, David Griffin's getting a cup of coffee where you are as well. And you walk up to him and go, sir, I got a suggestion. What is it?
I beg him to put a team together that actually wants to play together the same way that Willie Green can actually coach. Don't make the same mistakes of Adele Demps, which is you built a team that was built for Alvin, but you gave that team to Monty. You had a team that was built for Monty, you gave that team to Alvin. Can you please just build a team that actually is cohesive enough to play the style of basketball that your coach wants to run? Unfortunately for me, Valvinus is not the answer at center. You're going to have to get rid of him. Brandon Ingram is not the answer on the wing. You're going to have to let Trey take that spot and pay him whatever you have to pay him. And you can't find a point guard to save your life because CJ's not it, and Dyson isn't it, and Jose isn't it. So can you please build a team that actually plays cohesively together and that the coach wants to coach?
It's an interesting thing, right? You're trying to come up with the dish. You know the recipe. You know the ingredients. But you're almost, with this team, you've almost had to kind of wait to see what kind of mixes together. But I do agree with David, and it's kind of what you're saying. I think I've seen enough, right? I mean, he said it. He said we've seen enough. So Haven't seen that. I think we're all in the understanding, right? As Will Guillory said, redo the center room. And I think as you just mentioned here as well, facilitator. Now, where do you go? You and I have been texted because it is probably one of the worst drafts in NBA history in terms of talent. So I asked Ollie this. Do you go the draft to try to get a point guard, or do you go to draft to get a center? It's just going to be hard for the Pels, no matter how many first-round picks and how much money you have, and if you want to go to over the luxury tax. I don't know if you can do both in free agency. Can you?
I don't think you can, because it's not like they're on the cusp of being like, you know, a perennial, you know, team that's going to be, you know, top four every year. They're not there yet. They're building, but they're not there yet. And if you have to do a complete roster makeover and kind of build around Zion as your future, you know, with Herb and Trey, if that's going to be your core guys going forward, then no, you can't go into the luxury tax right now. Your best bet is to say, you know what, let's go try to find us a floor general. Let's try to trade for maybe a Coby White, who the Bulls had, you know, up for trade before they gave him the extension. Let's try to see if there's a guy in that ilk that you can get as a point guard. And maybe you look to the draft to take a center because there are a couple available that play the style you want to play. If not, then, I mean, what the hell are NBA draft picks anyway? You only got two rounds. Most of the good guys are in the lottery. Get rid of the damn draft picks. You got them collecting dust on a shelf right now. Trade as many as you have to get the team that you want to build around, and then go from there. I mean, at this point, how much depth do you need? You've got depth pieces. You've got the Najee's. You've got the Jose's. You've got the guys like Larry Nance. You have your depth pieces. You even have Jordan Hawkins, who's been sitting the bench, although you said you need shooting. So if you have the depth pieces, then go and get your starting unit. And that's something that they haven't been able to figure out just yet, because either Brandon Ingram or Zion is always hurt, so you don't really know what you have. Well, now you do. So you have your answers. It ain't good enough. Not in the West.
This is a time of year where people put out different things. Fletcher Mackel said, hey, what about this? There's three different trades. With the Cavs, you look for Allen and Garland. That's Jared Allen and Garland, the point guard. Hawks, Murray and either Okwangu or Bogdanovich. Or the Pistons, 2024 top three pick, which you could go with either get Sar, Topic, or Ishar is what he says, and Endurin and TPE. Which of those three would you like in a trade package for BI?
I'd probably go with the Cleveland package. Simply because, one, you get him in the East, you get him in a division that you don't have to worry about too often. You get a good piece in Jared Allen back, who's a guy that Trajan Langdon knows very well. You go Garland or Sexton, either one of those guys, if you want to bring them in and let them kind of be the floor general that CJ can't be. It makes a lot of sense if you go Cleveland, but, I mean, you know, for me, I don't see how the Pels pull it off. I'd love to be able to see, you know, the entire package and see if they can, but I don't see how they actually make that trade package happen. It sounds good in theory, but, I mean, the Pels will, you know, find some kind of way to pell it up.
I like Anthony Edwards.
I mean, don't we all?
Oh, man, he's good. He is good. Who you like in that series, man?
I mean, you know, I hate to say this because I got to return home at some point to the Great Mountain West. I actually think Minnesota wins it, man. I think, you know, I think they have exactly what it's going to take in order to kind of combat what Denver does well. You know, they have, you know, two bigs on the inside. They have the Mike Conley, the veteran point guard. And then Anthony Edwards is just, I mean, my goodness. You know, he looks just like his dad playing out there.
Who that would be?
Oh, Michael Jordan, of course.
There's a lot of speculation in that. Well, he did come out and say he thinks he has at least 20 illegitimate kids. I mean, he did. He did come out last week and said he thinks there's about 20 of them out there.
I mean, he did play in the Midwest in Chicago, man. Minnesota ain't, and Chicago's not that far away from each other. It's possible.
I'm just saying, dude. He looks awfully. When somebody did that side-by-side comparison, like, I mean, they did, like, the FBI point-by-point thing, like the nostrils, the nose bridge, the brow on the eye. I mean, it's eerie. It's eerie. And I don't know if I'm looking into it, but it's really eerie. Really eerie.
All I'm saying is on Father's Day, he owes Michael Jordan a call. That's all I'm saying.
That's all the time we got for Brian, who's likely a mile high out west. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the phone call.
Take care, bro.
Quick break. Jeff Box, our sister station KNAE, joins us next on ESPN New Orleans.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. We'll get with Jeff Boggs here from our sister station, KNAE, here a quick sec. Talk a little ESPN bets. In the meantime, I got to play this for you. I just saw it come across. Pat Riley, I'm playing in a game, son. Jimmy Butler posted on Instagram, they'd have beaten the Celtics if he was healthy and playing. Pat Riley?
Yeah, for him to say that, you know, I thought, is that Jimmy trolling or is that Jimmy serious? You know, if you're not on the court playing against Boston or on the court playing against the New York Knicks, you should keep your mouth shut in your criticism of those teams.
Boom. Pat Riley. That is the Miami Heat culture, sir. Miami Heat culture, Jeff Boggs. Keep your mind. Look, he's right, though, right? I mean, if you're not playing, you probably shouldn't go on social media and be like, well, if I was playing, we'd have won that. What do you think of Pat Riley's comments right there, Jeff? How are you today?
Good, and I just did hear the tail end of that clip by the time Buddy got me on board. But I'd agree. If you're not in this round, maybe it's time to think about next year.
Yeah, exactly right. Just keep those comments to yourself. The Pacers and the Knicks, they're the next team, set of teams to get their series started. Here we got a game two in the second game of the doubleheader. But game one, man, so much attention to Jalen Brunson and what the Knicks have been able to do. The Pacers have been a fun team to watch, young, above the rim, fast. How do you view this series, game one tonight?
You know, it used to be such a great postseason matchup, but these two teams haven't seen each other in the postseason for better than 10 years. I think it was 2013. And so, again, whether that past rivalry is still here should be a heck of a matchup. Again, so you got number two taking on the Pacers. They were third in the Central Division this season. 22 and 22 on the road this season, including the playoffs. Knicks, 50 and 32, took second in the Atlantic, 29-15 on their home court this year. The Knicks going to be without Julius Randle. Got a shoulder issue, and Bogdanovich, he's dealing with a foot. Indiana won't have Benedict Mathurin. He's got a shoulder issue, not a soldier issue, but a shoulder issue. Tyrese Halliburton's back. He's listed as questionable for Indiana, but he didn't miss any time with that injury in the last series. Knicks, 5.5-point favorites at home today. Over-under, 217.5. Money line goes to the Knicks, minus 215, plus 180 for the Pacers. A couple other things to think about the Pacers. 47-39-3 against the spread this season, while the Knicks are 29-21 against the spread this season when they're favored, as they are. A couple of things otherwise to think about the Knicks. Point guard Jalen Brunson, he's been red hot in the playoffs. Six games, all starts, averaging 35.5 points, nine boards, 4.5 rebounds, and nearly 44 minutes of game time. He scored 39 or more points in each of the last four games, including 41-point, 12-assist effort in the game six series clincher over the 76ers Thursday. Josh Hart posted three double-doubles in the first round, but in game six, he scored 16 points, grabbing 14 boards. Pacers are looking at power forward Pascal Siakam. He had his way in the first round series win over the Milwaukee Bucks. Six games, 22-plus points per game, 8.8 rebounds, and 4.2 assists, nearly 38 minutes on average per game. And, again, a couple other things you want to be thinking about. Indiana's offense, Halliburton, the 24-year-old, averaged 16 points, 5.8 boards, 9.3 assists, and average of 36.3 minutes against the Bucks in the opening round. Did deal with some back spasms. Those might be an issue tonight.
See what happens. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing if this series can go. It's crazy when you just said how long it's been since those two have actually met. You know, back in the day, you remember Reggie Miller, probably one of the most famous ones over there at MSU when he scored all those points in that few amount of time in those seconds. And then you got game two tonight between Minnesota and Denver. So many people impressed by the game one win in Denver. Game two in Denver tonight. How do you see this one?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, dominating win. You got a couple of things to think about here. Suns in the first, Jamal Murray, his calf, still a problem, listed as questionable. He's a fearless shooter if he can play tonight. Great shot creator, great facilitator. Minnesota, underdogs again tonight, as I'm sure they were in the previous game. 6.5 points are the Nuggets favored. Over under 208.5 on this one. money line to Denver minus 240 plus 200 for Minnesota. Minnesota 5-0 against the spread in the postseason. Think about that. Denver 40-46-2 against the spread this season. For Denver, center Nikola Jokic, obviously one of the top playmakers in the NBA, got the skill set to impact the game in a lot of ways. Able to distribute the ball consistently, able to create his own shot or create second-chance opportunities. And in the postseason, leads the team in scoring. No shock here. 28.8 points a game, boards 15 nearly, and nearly 10 assists per game. He finished with 32 points in game one, 8 boards, 9 assists. For the Timberwolves, guard Anthony Edwards, he's been one of the best players on the floor in this postseason. Edwards attacking from all three levels offensively, going on the other end to play really good defense. Again, team high 33.4 points per game, nearly 8 boards a game, 5.5 assists a game. And don't forget about center Rudy Gobert. He's got a huge role in the front court. He plays stifling defense in the paint, uses those long arms to really mess with shots and snag some boards. So, again, I kind of like Denver to rebound tonight. I'm not sure about the spread, though, after game one.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let's see what takes place tonight as those two teams tip off. Glad it's the late game. I got a Little League game at 7:30. At least I'll be able to catch that second one. Looking forward to it, though, as always, man. No odds on ESPN bet on my Little League game, right? No odds on that?
No, we like to not put too much pressure on the little guys.
Yeah, no doubt.
And the parents do enough, right?
No, believe me, I told Carver, no dessert until you get at least a 2-hit game. I mean, it's just not happening. That's how it works, man. Don't embarrass me. I'm the coach. Anyway, how can people get involved when it comes to ESPN Bet, sir?
Absolutely. Every shot, every goal, ESPN Bet has you covered with the biggest moments on the road to the championships. The exclusive sportsbook of ESPN, the only place to find special offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities throughout the playoffs. New users, you get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. So download ESPN Bet today if you haven't. It is quite the play. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Terms and conditions apply. Check out all the app for the details and see if the Cubs can make it 3 in a row tonight.
Yeah, man, it's been a bit. I was talking with Rafael Esparza. Do you remember where you were when Kerry Wood had 20 strikeouts?
I do. I was still in Lafourche, I think, in those days. But, yeah, WGN was still doing Cub games.
Yep.
And remember it well.
Yeah, I was. It was crazy. 26 years ago today, I remember not going to class that day and watching him pitch on that cloudy, dreary day. 20 strikeouts, man, it's pretty incredible. Look at Jeff Bagwell.
What a year '98 was.
Yeah, it was crazy when you look at it, man. Thank you, man, so much for the time. We'll see you tomorrow.
You got it.
Yep, maybe we'll talk a little baseball tomorrow with Jeff here as well and start looking at some of those games as we start to get into some more action here. Hard to believe just two weekend series left for college baseball teams. That'll be our focus tomorrow on Tuesday, our college baseball day. Hour two was brought to you by Chris's Paving, chrispaving.com, driveways, parking lots, overlays, locally owned and operated, a asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the NOLA and Bayou regions. Can give you the number 985-960-2131. You probably won't remember that. ChrisPaving.com. Super easy. Go online. See what they can do for you. Sports Hangover Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.